FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is May 2nd, 2017, right after the national leftist holiday, May Day, May 1st, and the damage continues to mount. We saw a riot in Portland, Oregon, where the police had to literally subdue dozens of these rowdy demonstrators, violent demonstrators. Someone who's familiar with it firsthand, who came over from the dark side long ago, is David Horowitz. You find him on frontpagemag.com. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. So, well, Trump would say the very dark side.
Well, I guess it's all a question of perspective. So, look, you were supposed to have a speaking engagement in Berkeley, and things didn't turn out quite well, did they?
Right. It was 2 months after Milo Yiannopoulos was stopped from speaking when the left destroyed $100,000 worth of property and sent six people to the hospital. Yeah. And it was going to be on April 12th, which would have been 2 weeks before Ann Coulter was scheduled to speak. And of course, she was stopped as well, as was I. And it's the university that stopped us. University administrations are leftists, and they're entirely sympathetic to the criminals who are attempting to shut down free speech. I mean, they've effectively made these universities into safe places for leftist ideas. They're one-party states, and there really is no conservative voice, or I should even say dissenting voice, because there are libertarians as well, mm-hmm. on college campuses. If there are any, they're isolated and insignificant. But here's how the university does it. They told the college Republicans who invited me that I would have to speak at 1 o'clock in the afternoon instead of at 4 or 5. 1 o'clock is when afternoon classes start. So that would drastically cut down the number of students who would attend. Then they told them that I would have to give the speech at a facility, a university facility, that was 1 mile away from the actual campus. It was the School for the Deaf. It's now residence halls and a theater. But it's 1 mile away from campus. And actually, it rained that day, so nobody would have come that way. But even that wasn't enough for them. I was on the phone to the Vice Chancellor Sutton and the police chief, Alex Yao, and this idiot campus police chief Yao said to me that we could announce the event, but we couldn't tell its location. So I laughed. Yeah. I said, oh, so you invite a conservative can come to campus as long as you hide him. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't enough. 2 days before the scheduled speech, because of course I was going to ignore command not to advertise a location and try to go ahead with the speech. 2 days before, they told the students they would have to pay $6,000 for the security for the speech and $2,000 for the room 1 mile away from campus. These are violations of the constitutional rights of the students. And as a result of my negotiations, the students now have lawyers who are going to sue the university for violating their First Amendment rights. The university is a public institution. It's funded by taxpayers, and it's not allowed under our constitution to discriminate against viewpoints, although it does systematically discriminate against conservative viewpoints. And the reason it's gotten away with this is that conservatives have done nothing. The Republican Party just doesn't even look at this problem. The Supreme Court has made, you know, has issued its decision on viewpoint neutrality. And what the federal government needs to do, what the Trump administration needs to do, is deprive these universities of any federal funds while they're violating Title IX, it's called. It's used to end discrimination or to punish discrimination against races, genders, sexual orientations. But it's not used to protect diversity of viewpoint, which is something that the universities, our colleges, hate. They don't want any diversity of viewpoints.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just amazing that supposedly the mayor of Berkeley, California, is some type of crazy leftist who's
involved. He's a communist. They're all communists.
Yeah. And he's involved in a violent...
We don't use that word anymore because, of course, the left controls the culture. So we can't get any lessons from the Cold War we fought with the communists. But communism, I mean, neo-communist is probably the term for that.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking now of progressives generally, the Democratic Party. They're mainly about redistribution of income, which is communism.
Yeah.
Government control of everything, which is communism. They're communists.
Mm-hmm. Well, so this guy, though, he's actually a
opinions
member.
They don't like.
Yeah. He's actually a member of a violent left-wing organization. I mean, when they were out there protesting against Milo.
On the Facebook page of Antifa, which is a fascist, left-wing fascist organization.
Yeah, and then there was a
school. But they ordered the police to stand down, but the police captain Yao that I talked to, he has the same mentality. Do nothing. I told the vice chancellor he was paying this guy too much money because he wanted the college Republicans to do his job for him by disappearing.
Yeah.
Then there wouldn't be any violence because the violence all comes from the left. Yeah. I said, if you really want to control the violence, you know who they are. And if you don't, I'll tell you who they are, these groups. And you just call their leaders in and say, if any of your members are involved in any obstruction of a speaker or threat of violence, you're going to have your privileges and your monies removed for a year.
Yeah.
And that would stop it.
Yeah, I think so. And when they had that riot over Milo, the cops did absolutely nothing. They watched them destroy the Starbucks. They watched them do hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage, burn stuff. I mean, how did they get away with this?
Because they're progressives. You know, the moderate progressives wouldn't do the violence themselves, but they're not going to stop it either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They share their outlook. I mean, you can see it. And look, the Democratic Party has got a resistance going to the Trump administration. That's not the role of an opposition party in a democracy. Resistance, sabotage is what.
Yeah.
How does a democracy function? I mean, the whole idea of a democracy is compromise, is that, you know, when you lose an election, you know, you work to win the next one. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that, you know, although we disagree perhaps violently with each other, we submit to the discipline of a democracy, which is when the people vote one party in, you know, you facilitate, first of all, they're getting into place. It's called a honeymoon.
Right.
And traditionally, honeymoons are 7 months and even longer, where you let the new president get in office. Mm-hmm. You show him respect.
Yeah.
You let him assemble his team. And you wait until he launches his programs. And if you have to vote against him, that's fine. But Trump didn't get 7 seconds, and he didn't get confirmation hearings for his cabinet. He got a witch hunt. And the Democrats, to me, the thing that still has steam coming out of my ears is the treatment of Jeff Sessions, mm-hmm. one of the half dozen most decent human beings in the United States Senate, known to all these Democrats like Hillary for 20 years, a champion of civil rights. He was the attorney general in a deep South state, Alabama. He prosecuted the Ku Klux Klan. He sent a Klan leader to his death for a racial murder. He desegregated the schools. And beginning with Schumer, one Democrat after another got up and called him a racist.
Yeah, disgusting.
Disgusting. Really just disgusting. A Democratic Party is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be punished for their behavior. And I believe they will be in the midterm elections.
Yeah, well, they haven't learned anything from the election. From the defeat of Hillary
Clinton.
Not
yet, but
you think they
will? I don't know if you saw Chris Matthews. He at least understands that they're out of touch.
Yeah, they are
out of touch. I mean, he's contributed to it.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what happened to Chris Matthews, because he's a much more intelligent person than he's been for the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, well, he's been very inflammatory.
The left-wing groupie, I guess. Yeah. I shouldn't say that, but that's what I think. His wife is a leftist.
Yeah. Well, agreed there for sure. I mean, the guy is just totally off the deep end. I mean, he was the one that had the tingle going up his leg over Obama, right?
I mean, and the obverse of that tingle for Obama is that he compares Trump to Hitler.
Yeah.
These people are deranged.
Yes.
Who can have respect for so-called liberals? They're totally deranged.
Agreed on that one, David. Agreed on that. They are in another parallel universe. Maybe not so parallel.
I mean, yeah, they want to have no country, open borders.
Yeah.
They demonstrate on the communist holiday, May Day, which used to pretend to be for workers. Mm-hmm. And they're demonstrating for open borders, which is anti-worker.
Yeah, totally. And you,
people come here illegally, they're going to work for less.
Yeah, and you hear Tucker Carlson.
Undercut wages.
Tucker Carlson asks these people that question directly. If you're
I wish he had brought up the illegal immigration. Texas, they've had since 2011, 500,000 crimes committed by illegal aliens.
Correct.
Which is the proper term for them. Right, it's an invasion.
Yes.
They're not immigrants. They're invaders.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting.
They're unwelcome, and they should be unwelcome. And the fact that the Democratic Party tells you where the Democratic Party's loyalties are, certainly not to this country.
Certainly not. Certainly not. Well, David, it's always great having
you. We haven't mentioned the book I wrote, though.
Yeah, let's talk
Big
about
Agenda.
Big Agenda, yes. So
President Trump's plan to save America. It's been 11 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. But needs support.
And
it's a manual on how to fight this battle.
Yeah, well, you know it from the other side. So it's
it's
important.
And I will tell you, Republicans are too polite.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, looking at it on Amazon, right next to your book is a book, The Worst President in History, and it's a picture of Obama on it, The Legacy
That's a
of
correct,
Barack Obama.
Correct description.
So they kind of go hand in hand, huh?
I mean, you have these left-wing press like The Times and The Post and Chris Matthews attacking Trump for trying to prevent a nuclear war started by the lunatic in North Korea by offering to meet with him, by talking to Duterte, as though Obama didn't rub his nose up the behinds of the Iranian Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say anything then, did they?
And Chavez.
Unlike Obama, Trump is not about to increase the arsenals of the North Koreans or the
Definitely
guy
not.
In the Philippines, is he?
No. It's not in the cards.
It's really hard to be a commentator at this point in time because things are so loony.
Yeah, how do you keep a straight face?
I mean, that's one thing. Yeah, this used to be the fringes. Mm. Used to think like the Democratic Party is thinking today and like the Washington Post is thinking.
Yeah, remarkable. Remarkable we got where we are today. So you can find that book on Amazon, The Big Agenda, and must reading. And your regular work, David, on frontpagemag.com. Still find you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we appreciate your coming on. Good luck with the book. And hopefully at some point, the country will regain sanity to some extent.
Hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.